Fantasy Freaks and Geeks, what is up? It is the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I'm James Gill, joined alongside Adam Wright, the Fantasy Maverick, in the house today. What's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me once again. I feel like...
I'm glad you could fit us into your busy schedule.
No. I feel like this is a terrible thing where you've had a couple of great young prospects like the franchise and Matt Harmon.
Yep.
And you've traded them away for the disgruntled, washed-up guy.
the veteran pitcher
Who's been mailing it in recently.
Is your EA Madden show, is this season...
Season one is in the books.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. We did. I thought it was a very successful first season. It was something very fun, something new. And I think that the esports and the Madden show, I think there's a bright future there. So thanks for everybody who watched.
Yeah, which is why Adam Rank is now making time for the backup podcast, which is great. We appreciate that. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant in the house as well. And the whiz kid from Wisconsin behind the glass there, Alex Gelhar. What's up, man?
Not too much. I had a cold this weekend that settled in late last week, so I spent most of the weekend lounging around. I crushed all 10 episodes of Making a Murderer. I did make it to the theater twice, though, so that was good.
You are a machine. You're a machine.
Man, when you're sick, all you got to do is sit around. So, like,
you're a machine.
I didn't want to risk getting more ill, and I just popped in on the recliner. Charlie snuggled up with me for a little while and watched some Netflix.
You, Matt Harmon, and Charlie, Netflix and chilled, and that's what happened.
Harmon had some other stuff going on. He was not sick, so he was able to get out to the gym and do other things.
There was a big party for him on Friday, right?
Not huge party, but we had a good little gathering with some beverages and some burgers.
All right. There you go. I like it. All right. Let's get to your top headlines for today. We're going to talk about the NFC West. We're going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals, Seattle Seahawks, and now the Los Angeles Rams, as well as the San Francisco 49ers, Chip Kelly, and all that kind of stuff, Daily Daps as well. We will try to keep it under an hour.
Yes.
No promises, because Adam Rank is here. So this could...
He's the pro at filibustering discussions.
Just hit that headline music and let's start.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news. Because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
Our first topic, how about Matt Forte? This is right in Adam Rank's wheelhouse, the Schaumburg, Illinois native that he is. But Matt Forte doesn't sound like he's going to come back. It's kind of not really surprising.
No. I mean, I think he came out and said that this was it for me. And the
right.
Bears also released a statement, too. And it's disappointing because if you looked at the Bears organization over the last number of years, they've allowed Brian Urlacher to walk away without
right.
a lot of fanfare. Lance Briggs, Devin Hester. As a matter of fact, I interviewed Devin Hester before he went to Atlanta. I interviewed Matt Forte at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think I'm the kiss of death now.
So would you say there's a trend with you and Bears players leaving?
The trend says.
A trend.
I know a lot of a couple of my friends were begging me to talk to Jay Cutler, and I said, stop it. Right
that,
I don't think that's very cool.
You
but
didn't talk to Alshon Jeffrey. Did you?
Oh, boy.
Or did you?
No, I did not.
Oh.
I did not. He'll be sticking around. Obviously,
good.
They're going to put their resources there. So
right.
It is it's disappointing from a fan perspective. You don't want to see your favorite players move on to another team, but that's
yeah.
life in the NFL. I guess what we would want to discuss, though, what's relevant to fantasy enthusiasts, is where he's going to go.
There's a lot of I shouldn't say that. There's actually not a lot of teams that need a running back. There's, in my estimation, maybe five or six teams.
Right.
And really, if you really break it down, where there's not going to be a full-fledged committee, maybe three.
Oh, I just one, I would think.
The Texans?
Well, I was thinking the Cowboys, but...
Well, Darren McFadden's there.
McFadden.
I thought he had a pretty good year. No?
Man.
1,400 total yards.
Although I feel like if you can get a guy like Matt Forte,
yeah.
that might change your idea of whether or not you have a committee.
So
okay.
our good friends over at Around the NFL, they have a podcast you can also listen to on iTunes and stuff. They had Connor Orr whipped up which teams are the best fit for Matt Forte. So I'll run you through this list and
all
we
right.
can see which ones we like from a fantasy perspective.
Okay.
New England Patriots.
I like it for a personal perspective because it would give Matt Forte an opportunity to go out and get a championship.
So
I would like to see that. Yeah. And but for a fantasy purposes, I do not like that.
And scheme, I don't know that that's the best because Deion Lewis is already there to be the pass catcher, and he
right.
proved he could run between the tackles
okay.
a little bit. So what they might need is more of a hammer back.
Matt Forte can catch the ball.
Yes.
And he's good. He's 6'2". He's huge. He is a big person. He can pound the ball between the tackles.
100% agree with what you're saying. But really what makes Matt Forte special is the fact that he can't catch balls out of the backfield.
That's nice, but don't. That shouldn't hurt him.
we
don't want him. He catches. He's not like a scat back.
No. That's not what I was saying. But
5'7" Darren Sproles or something.
Right.
Next on the list was Seattle Seahawks.
No.
Don't
really?
Like
you're saying no. You're saying no, huh?
No.
Just
absolutely
straight up.
Not.
Why? Because I mean, I know how much you love Thomas Rawls. I get it, but
no, I like Thomas Rawls. First of all, I'm not as bullish on Thomas Rawls as Michael Fabiano is, but or some other fantasy enthusiasts as well. It's just. No. Thomas Rawls is going to come back. He's the young guy. First of all, Seattle, if they're already balking at the fact that they didn't want to pay Marshawn Lynch, why? They're going to invest some time in Thomas Rawls. Thomas Rawls is super, super inexpensive.
Right, but part of the reason they didn't want to pay Marshawn Lynch, one, his skills were declining, but also there was the headache that you got. The last couple years, Marshawn kind of played when he wanted to play. At least those were the stories that he wasn't completely committed, whereas you've never heard that sort of thing with Matt Forte.
It's true. It's just that Thomas Rawls is there already. I think they're going to be committed to the young guy to see what they got. And I tell you, they gave the kid touches, and he produced. So I don't think that's a great fit. What else
next,
is kind of
next on the list?
Because those two were very, very lukewarm.
Dallas Cowboys, as we already mentioned. We like that
good
one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we can just jump on to the next one. This one was interesting. Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
A reunion with Mark Trestman. Justin Forsett's coming off an injury. He's also over 30 years old. They've got, Javorius Allen there as well.
Old
so,
Buck, yeah.
But I think it's more, I think they were thinking more of the reunion of the offensive coordinator and stuff. Veteran, another good team.
That's not a great one because Forte hated his role under
Mark
Trestman.
Yeah, I know Trestman. He disliked
this
it.
This is true. But, I mean, that's also where he caught 102 passes.
Set the record, yeah.
I mean, statistically, it was great, but I don't think he enjoyed that.
No, he said after the season that he didn't particularly enjoy that role.
Talked to people who know people who said that he did not.
The last big one on their list, the Green Bay Packers.
Well, now, because we already know that Eddie Lacy is going to do P90X and get shredded and come back and be ready to go, that just doesn't seem to be a fit there.
Again,
why
invest money into the running back position when you already have Eddie Lacy?
Starks is a free agent, and they literally have nobody else after that.
I get it.
They could easily – I think they'll go in the draft. Schematically and for a fit, that makes sense to me because Forte is much more dynamic out of the backfield.
I agree.
You still get a 1-2 thunder and lightning punch between him and Lacy.
And we talk about, being able to at least play deep into the playoffs. Obviously, the Green Bay Packers.
Well, then that's
profile.
Not going to be
– But – Fantasy-wise, I don't love that one as much.
I don't like that at all.
It diminishes both Forte and Lacy.
It also means James Starks is gone. I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, James Starks is pushing 32, people forget, because he came out as
a
senior out of Buffalo back in 2010. So there are other wild card options. They don't list any reason. Raiders, Vikings, Steelers, Colts, and Texans.
Wait a minute.
How are the Texans? I don't know how
the Texans are so far down. I mean,
the Texans got to be
that
one.
That was not a ranking. They just listed those teams.
Oh, because Matt Forte seems like a perfect fit for the Texans.
I agree. 100% agree.
What about the Saints? He's from New Orleans.
Yes.
It's a two-lane.
The C.J. Spiller thing did not work out well
Obviously.
For them. They want to go with the running back by committee. It's not going to be good for fantasy, but Matt Forte is not charting his future by going, where's my best fantasy fit?
No, of course.
It's where I can win, where I can have a role with this team. And again, he would probably be counted on to catch the ball a little bit, but he can still run it. I mean, Mark Ingram hasn't really been super healthy over the course of his career.
No.
You have two solid running backs with those two guys as a 1-2 punch. I kind of like that situation.
Gosh, I don't hate it. I just don't think the Saints are close. And I would be surprised if Matt Forte thought that the Saints are close.
Saints are super cap strapped too. Still,
yeah.
So I don't know that they would be able to pull them.
I mean, they're close to a playoff spot in that division. In that division,
the division with the team that just went 15-1.
Okay, yes, that team is obviously their head and shoulders.
Their
head and shoulders
way
above everybody else. The Panthers are definitely above everybody else in that division. But I mean, look, the Bucs, they had a nice run, but there's a chance they could lose Doug Martin. They're starting over at the running back position. Their defense has a lot of issues right now. The Falcons are just meh to the nth degree. I mean, there is a chance that the Saints could still competing.
All right, well, real quick, yeah. Since we spent a lot of time on Matt Forte, what's your dream landing spot? Let's go around the horn, and then we'll jump to the next headline. Adam, dream landing spot for Forte, fantasy-wise.
Fantasy-wise.
Right.
Cowboys is the number one guy.
Houston.
I'd say Dallas.
I think Doug Martin will go somewhere. I think Tampa Bay. And the reason for that is because, you know, you got a nice strong arm young quarterback. If they bring in a guy like Matt Forte, I think they'll lean on him. But Jameis Winston is dynamic enough where that offense will move a little bit. And the division's soft, man. So I'd love to see if Doug Martin moves on and then he goes down to Tampa Bay. Also, the warm weather will be nice for a slightly aging running back as well. But yeah, I think that might not be bad.
All right.
So we shall see. How about the Dolphins? They say they want to re-sign Lamar Miller. They surely didn't show it during the regular season. But, you know, they got a new coaching staff there and everything like that. So Lamar Miller, good fit in Miami.
Yeah, I think Adam Gase can really probably go ahead and get the best of his ability. If you look at what Adam Gase has done over the last couple of years, going back to his time in Denver, where he really got the best out of C.J. Anderson. He did pretty well with not only Matt Forte last year, but also Jeremy Langford.
Right.
So I feel that what we got out of Lamar Miller in the past with Miami, you got to just brush that aside and look at what's going to be happening in the future. And they got a pretty decent – they got a decent enough quarterback. They've got great risk. Great. I don't think great.
They've got a good receiver. They got a really good young core.
They got a nice young core. I would be excited for this. He would definitely be somebody I would target if you're going to be one of those people who drafts wide receivers heavily in the first couple of rounds.
Right.
Lamar Miller's on. He's one of those fringe guys, and I think he was last year too, where you're looking in the fourth round or so. Perhaps he's still around. So. I kind of like it. I like everything that's going on in Miami.
I agree with everything Rank just said.
Okay.
I just would like for Adam Gase to sign an affidavit that
Lamar Miller will
average 20 touches. All right, like sometimes, you know, game flow means he doesn't quite get as many, but sometimes game flow should mean he gets more. Like, just sign an affidavit that he will average 20 touches over the course of the season.
I thought Jay Ajayi looked pretty darn good.
He did look really good, so it'd be interesting to see. I don't mind the fit if Miller stays in Miami, because for everything Adam said, the Adam Gase connection is really nice, and
it
like
is.
I still think Lamar Miller's a talented player. But the Jay Ajayi factor would scare me a little bit.
Isn't he got bone on bone in his knee?
He's got a degenerative knee condition.
Like it's?
But his long-term future is not great. But, you know, I think he'll – I'm no doctor. But
he's still speculating.
Absolutely not. But he's still a young man. And I thought he ran pretty darn well last year. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. There's no question. All right, Ken Whisenhunt hopes to jumpstart the ground game in San Diego. What does that mean for somebody like Melvin Gordon, who a lot of folks invested heavily into Dynasty and Keepers and all that kind of stuff? Melvin Gordon in San Diego, boy, he did not look good his rookie year. Oh, God, he did not look good at all. What are his prospects in year two? Wiz?
I'm somewhat excited for this. I was trying to wrap my brain around this all weekend as I was looking at this news story and stuff, because Melvin Gordon is still a talented kid. He did not look good at all last year.
No.
I mean, it was partly the line. It was a lot of him. He was very hesitant. He did not hit the hole with the same, you know, confidence and explosion that he did out of college.
Right.
What Whisenhunt did say, though, is that he would like to switch it back to more of like the Ryan Matthews, Danny Woodhead role they had a couple years ago, where Ryan Matthews had like 1,200 yards on the ground and I think 7 or 8 touchdowns. So if that switches him over to the role that's going to diminish Danny Woodhead, and if Gordon can get everything together, and maybe they get an offensive lineman in the draft, I'm cautiously optimistic that he could have a nicer second season. He can't get much worse than he was his rookie season.
I think a lot of it is about the offensive line. I mean, the Chargers had the second fewest total rushing yards in the league. They were the fewest. They had the worst yards per attempt, just 3.5 yards per carry during the
that's
season last year.
Good.
And yes, some of it was Melvin Gordon kind of looking hesitant. He didn't have those big, you know, those big bulls up front like he had at Wisconsin that were just blowing open holes. So he had to be a little more patient at times. He had to be a little more aggressive at times, and I think he struggled with that. And yes, I think he'll get better, but still, this is a team that, you know, circumstances have forced them the last couple of years to throw the football a lot. And so unless they make some major changes up front, all the want to in the world isn't going to make this team run the football better.
What was Lamar's numbers from last year?
Lamar Miller?
Melvin Gordon's numbers. From
he
last
had like 125 carries,
and
I think.
Zero touchdowns.
Don't live in the past. 184 carries, 641 yards, 3.5 per tote, no touchdowns.
Oh, my gosh. That is not good.
But I will say when Ken Whisenhunt was the offensive coordinator in 2013, the team ranked sixth in rushing attempts, so they were trying to get the ball on the ground a lot. As Alex said, it was Ryan Matthews' best season as a pro.
Yeah.
1255, six rushing touchdowns, one receiving touchdown. Danny Woodhead still had 76 receptions with six touchdown receptions.
Pretty good.
During that season. So he'll still be viable. He had 1,000 or more than 1,000 scrimmage yards too. So there's an opportunity for both those guys. But they really do, as Alex said, they have to invest in a center because that – the Nick Hardwick thing is it's still crushing them. It's still, again, though, but I don't like this team to be very good. I think that the specter of them moving, like, it's a big thing. Like, it's a terrible thing, especially for the Chargers who don't want to move.
Right.
Like, I know some of the guys were excited about possibly coming to L.A., but your quarterback is not one of those guys. And that's a huge thing.
He's got like eight kids. He lives like super east of San Diego. Like, I know everyone thinks San Diego, and then they think, oh, Philip Rivers, starting quarterback. He must live on the beach. He must have this dope beach house. No, he lives.
Not when you have eight kids.
Yeah, James, he has eight kids.
He's got eight kids. He lives way east. He's got a big old, you know, acre of land or whatever it is. Very nice
like
home,
Alpine or something like that.
He lives way out there.
All right, rather than recklessly speculating on the people's motivation of taking moves.
I've witnessed this before. I remember when the Los Angeles Rams, before they folded, it was a terrible year. Like, 94 was awful.
But also, this isn't – I mean, while we feel it might be a foregone conclusion, it isn't. They are still trying to renegotiate. Anyways, back to football. The last 4 years, Whisenhunt has been an offensive coordinator. His rushing offense is ranked 13th, 10th, 5th, and 2nd in yards.
Pretty good.
And 6th, 14th, 1st, and 1st in attempts.
Again, I'm worried that San Diego – forget about whatever the motivation. The fans aren't I don't believe the fans are going to come out. I think they're going to be playing to half-empty stadiums. Much like what we saw this past year. I don't think it's hard for a team to get up. I don't think this team they have so many holes on the offensive side. I don't see them scoring a lot of points.
Especially
in this division, too.
I feel like this offense just takes a dive.
I agree.
I'm really, really worried about them. I know we talked a little bit about it before.
Dive from what? Last year was terrible because everybody was injured on the team.
Well, it was terrible.
Like, this is painting the way for a rebound.
It was really good in the first half of the season. It was in the second half when things went south.
Yeah, when they had healthy players.
And I feel like this year, I don't know. I just have a lot of concern. And there's nothing – because, yes, Keenan Allen, in theory, is back. We'll see what happens with the O-line. But Phil Rivers is a year older. We'll see what happens if Antonio Gates comes back, if Ladarius Green is even there again, you know, if Melvin Gordon can get better. There are just so many questions with this offense.
A lot of holes, man. A lot of holes. And again, I just think it's a tough division. You got the Broncos. The Raiders are coming up. It's going to be a tough division here. I don't believe in Melvin Gordon. Not that he doesn't have the talent. I just think he's playing for a team right now that's going to struggle offensively, and I would just not want to be a part of that. That's all. All right, RG3 passes his exit physical. Obviously, he's going to get released by Washington. But he's got to get picked up. Where would you like to see him get picked up, Adam Ray?
Dallas?
It's kind of the Cowboys stock answer now.
I don't know.
That's not bad.
Dallas?
It's really not bad. Why wouldn't he go to Los Angeles?
The Rams?
That would be my thought.
That's not bad either.
That would be hilarious. Well,
it would be funny for the irony of it.
Yes.
Well, I don't follow.
The trade. The Rams gave up all those picks.
They got all the picks. Rank is funning you right now.
Oh, right. Of course. Sorry.
None of that matters. Like, if there was a football team in St. Louis and went to go play for – maybe he could go play for the St. Louis Cardinals, go play some center field for them now that they've lost Jason Hayward.
Crickets. I wish I had a cricket noise.
Why didn't you? Don't no sell me.
I'm giving you the complete no sell.
That's terrible.
That's what's happening right
it's
now.
It's different.
Nobody
in Los Angeles cares about that.
First of all, there's like, you know, it's like I am the king. I'll give anybody a courtesy laugh.
You need, yeah.
But well, really, though, that one, no, that's
you're sitting there, yeah, I know. I've seen you yuck it up with certain people.
Sure, absolutely.
So like, that was the dumbest thing ever. You're selling it, and you can't give me a little? Listen, that's the one thing you need to realize, that people in Los Angeles don't care about what happened in St. Louis.
What are you talking about?
That's a fan.
Literally, what are you
sports
talking
about? Sports fan.
I have no idea what the hell.
Anyway.
Look.
Yes.
RG3 with Dallas or the St. Louis slash LA Rams.
No, they're the LA Rams. They're not slash anymore.
Anywhere else? Anywhere else you'd like to see them?
Those are the two big ones for me. I mean, maybe Houston.
Okay.
Bill O'Brien's good quarterback coach.
That's not bad.
Get him in there. Get him back into.
He could develop a little bit.
Yeah. Develop.
I mean, there's nowhere. I can't imagine there's anywhere he goes where he just walks in as the starter. He's going to have to compete everywhere he
Absolutely.
Goes. Which, from a fantasy perspective, means that I don't know that I take a chance on him at all. He's a waiver wire guy. I see if maybe he gets the. Because even if he wins a starting job, there's going to be so much skepticism about how he performs. Even a last round pick, I would rather just let him sit on the waiver wire and then try to pluck it.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. No, he's not being drafted. No. 0% chance. All right, let's talk about the NFC West, shall we? We'll start, we'll go alphabetical. How about that? Arizona Cardinals, 2015. Carson Palmer. He was the QB5. The QB5. Carson Palmer. It's amazing.
Pretty darn good.
David Johnson, despite not getting starts until the back quarter of the season. Am I reading this right? He was the RB7?
Yes. Well, don't forget, he went on that stretch to start the season of
six or seven
games in a row where every time he touched the ball, he scored a touchdown.
Double-digit touchdowns for David Johnson. Not all on the ground, and we're including special teams as well. But, man, he was explosive last year. I don't know anywhere in the draft where I'm not taking David Johnson in the first round, but there you go. Larry Fitzgerald really emerged, especially in the early part of the season. I thought he kind of faded in the back half, finished as your wide receiver 11. John Brown, who everybody was super, super duper excited about, wide receiver 21, but he was battling injuries and still looked pretty explosive as well. And then Michael Floyd, who I thought had a really nice bounce back campaign. Granted, a wide receiver 32 doesn't sound great, but
don't forget he broke his fingers or whatever to start the wrist. He came back for week one, but was not the same. And then he dealt with hamstring issues down the stretch too.
I thought he looked when he was in there and healthy. I thought he looked really good. What do we expect from 2016?
Well, I still believe in Carson Palmer, and part of it is
Homer.
Yeah, well, there's
no, I'm just kidding. I like Carson Palmer.
I do like him. I mean, part of it is that he didn't really take a lot of punishment this year. I think I looked when the list of most sacked quarterbacks. I think he was like 22. I mean,
which is amazing for Carson Palmer.
Because he's not mobile. He has zero mobility. But the offensive line protected him very well. Part of it is that he also gets the ball out quickly, so he didn't have a whole lot of pressure or anything. And so, you know.
But the fact that Bruce Arians was able to get him to get the ball out quickly is a story in and of itself.
Yeah.
It really is.
You know, and I think everybody's going to remember the last game we saw of Carson Palmer, which obviously was a debacle in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But all year, he was so good in this offense, and I think you can get at least one more good year out of him.
His last two games were kind of a debacle because while he didn't get sacked, I think the Packers brought him down like 7 or 8 times in that divisional round game, too. And if it wasn't for Larry Fitzgerald going ham on the defense all the time, Carson Palmer wouldn't have had that last game. But I trust Palmer again next year largely because of the weapons around him. Like you said, James, I think Floyd played tremendously last year when he was healthy, and he would probably be the wide receiver out of this group that I would target first.
Well, you're going to get the best value out of Mike Floyd because, again, I feel like Fitz is the bigger name guy. I feel a lot of fantasy hipsters are still going to love themselves some John Brown. And then there's going to be Mike Floyd, double-digit rounds, just hanging out.
Oh, he's not going to make double-digit
rounds. Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. At the wide receiver position?
I don't think
100%.
No, because I think everybody's going to look at that offense and how good that offense is, and that is going to boost his draft.
And right now his hype train is still in the station.
Right.
But come June, that hype train is going to be like the train from Snowpiercer. It's just going to be rocketing like 1,000 miles.
Wow. There's a lot of turmoil on that train.
I mean, I hope that the train is more peaceful, but I'm saying, like, just from a physical outside speed sense, that's what his
Snowpiercer.
I know how
that's my suspicion right now.
I know how big we all were on
underrated movie, by the way.
It was a fun movie.
I know how big we all were on John Brown. I was among them.
Yeah.
And I look at his final numbers.
Okay.
65 catches, 1,003 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Why can't he build on that?
Can he? Or do I feel like
he had better numbers than? That's better than Floyd.
No, it is. And it's. I'm not saying it's terrible, but I'm just wondering, is that about his ceiling, or how much more can he produce? I mean, I feel like, and these are, they're fine numbers. And, you know, like I said, wide receiver 21, I would gladly plug him in as a low-end WR2 or a flex guy.
Okay.
But I don't know. I just have this sneaking suspicion that he might have about hit his ceiling. Maybe he gets you 1,100 yards. Maybe he gets you another touchdown or so. But I don't know that John Brown is going to be this huge, you know, breakout Antonio Brown kind of playmaker.
What I like about – he's not going to be an Antonio Brown, but what I like about John Brown is that this was a good year for him and he was still injured. But I think he's a player where he will get you those weeks where he only has 50, 60 yards. But he's a player you need to – in like maybe a more consistent DeSean Jackson sense, embrace the variance. Because as we saw, there were games where John Brown was just simply uncomfortable.
And maybe DeSean Jackson is a better comparison. And, you know, but even that, I mean, DeSean's that guy, you draft him and you're like, am I playing him every week? You're just like, I don't know.
I don't know. When he was healthy, though, Brown was still getting catches and was putting up some yardage. Like, his lowest output was 4.5 points.
Right. No, and I guess, look, that's my thing, is that he's not bad. I don't know if he's ever going to match up to the hype that we put out for him from a fantasy perspective.
Well, he just has to outproduce his price, right? So whatever his price is going to be, it's not going to be in the first 5 rounds, I would doubt.
I think you're right on getting into John Brown territory there, maybe round like 5 to 8, depending on if somebody is high on him or
exactly.
If they back off a little bit.
So he's got to outperform that price. I don't know. I he's a young guy. He's explosive.
I mean, he's only been in the league 2 years.
I think the one thing that maybe kind of turns me off a little bit from him is the fact that Bruce Arians had no problems mixing in Jaron Brown and J.J. Nelson, who it's funny watching Arizona Cardinal games because there's a bunch of small speedsters rolling around. You're, every single time a guy catches it, you're like, is that John Brown? No, it's not.
How many times he drew pass interference penalties?
Yes.
Was amazing.
It was amazing.
I got points for that.
If those counted in fantasy, he would have.
But I think
he's
not
going to
get pass interfered. That's what
I think. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think that balances out in 2016. No,
yeah, I think it shoots up. I think his touchdown totals go up. And
I mean,
the receiving yards will probably hold there, right between the
1,000 and 1,100,
1,000 to 1,200, even. But
okay.
the touchdowns are going to go up.
I mean, defenders can continue to interfere with him. That doesn't. I mean, it helps the Cardinals because it moves them down the field. It gets you nothing.
But if he is being interfered with, maybe
I said good day, sir.
maybe there's a ball that sneaks in that he actually can catch. You know what I'm saying? I get that he's a smallish receiver, but I don't know. I think 1,007 is a pretty good floor for him. And then if you can get 1,210,
you're very excited.
You'd be super excited.
Let's talk about the David Johnson in the room.
Okay,
who here other than James is taking him in the first round?
Maybe at the very end.
What's
feel better in the second round.
What's wrong with you guys?
Adam?
What's wrong?
No. I'm not taking a running back. I'm not taking a running back in the first round.
Okay. All right, well, hold on.
Listen, how great did you feel about having C.J. Anderson last year?
I didn't take
C.J.
Anderson.
Draft him in the first round.
I didn't take C.J.
Anderson. Dude, it's the same thing.
I didn't take C.J. Anderson.
I would not.
He's not the explosive athlete that David Johnson is.
Did you not watch the Super Bowl? He's an explosive athlete. Like, look.
He is not David Johnson.
That's too much of a risk.
It's
one of those things that we'll look back on and be like, my God, I can't believe I got suckered again.
Hold on.
You would rather.
Let's say you had the eighth pick. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, all
and Gronk.
Okay, yes. Those guys are all going to be gone.
In the first 8 picks?
Not even a chance.
Not a chance.
Not even a chance. But you know what?
I wouldn't be that surprised.
No. Well, it depends on who you're drafting with. If you're like in the NFL Fantasy Live League, I guarantee you probably all 5 of those guys will be available. Because as much as everybody loves to say, like, oh, no, it's a new world order. And then everybody's like, oh, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, you'll bounce back. Like, listen, If you're with Sharps, then a lot of those guys are going to be going off the board. Okay. I like
the backdoor
my
insult that you just hurled right there.
What?
If you're playing insult. With Sharps, those guys will be off the board. But if you're playing in the NFL Fantasy Live League,
oh, yeah.
They will be available.
I know. Great thinker. You want to go over the roster? The NFL Fantasy Live League? There is it. There's
oh, man. Wow.
There's some. I mean, there's
guys.
Some,
two
look
guys.
At this guy dropped.
There is listen. That league comes down to two people, money and me.
Wow.
And that's it. But listen.
Wow.
Here's
that is a slight.
Look at the championship trophy. I'm not slighting anybody. I'm just stating the facts.
I should have had a better chance.
Listen.
I got placed against James in the playoffs.
You lost. Listen.
Yeah, but you lost to me too, pal.
No way.
Danger Zone Championship?
Beat you?
Danger Zone Championship?
Oh, gosh, dang it. Yeah.
There it is.
Only because I wasn't allowed to play Alan Hearns, who was one of my Danger Zone guys, and okay. Everyone was like, no, it's not Danger Zone enough. Like,
right,
when I made the
right.
pick.
All right. David Johnson, you're taking him where?
No, I'm not taking him.
You're not taking him at all?
Because some dope's going to take him in the first round, and I'll be like, all right, good luck with all that.
Man, I can't wait to take him 101.
Really? You would take?
Cole would take him 1.01.
Yep.
You would go that high on him.
In that situation where you're like, if you're the eighth pick and those five guys are gone, running back, then Peterson's going to be gone.
I'm not even saying it's a good pick.
Okay, if I'm ranking the running backs, I would put him at number – like if I had to do it, I'd probably like Gurley and then him, right? I mean, Le'Veon Bell, for as great as he is, I can't imagine the Steelers. I mean, I guess they did at some point last year, but I can't imagine the Steelers just looking at D'Angelo Williams and be like, we're not going to use you at all.
Their offense has always relied heavily through one running
back. I guess that's right.
And also, Williams is a year older now.
He's the top three, but David Johnson's got to be – he's no worse than the third running back.
See, I think if I were to rank running backs, I probably would go Lev, Johnson, and then Todd Gurley, only because I am extremely worried about Gurley's offense. And the division he plays in, which is against the Arizona Cardinals, and the Seattle Seahawks. That's tough. I don't know. Look, I'm going to get stupid and take David Johnson.
That's fair.
In the first five picks.
For the record, I'm probably on the cusp. I'm at that end of round one, round two at range. But
there you go.
I tend to like taking other positions early, too.
All right, Seattle Seahawks. I'm trying to think. If I had the first overall pick, who would I go with? Lev Bell?
You'd take David Johnson.
You'd take David Johnson.
All right, I'm just kidding.
You would look at that Le'Veon Bell sticker, and then you'd go, nope, and then you'd love the reaction. Put up David Johnson, you'd walk back, hands in the air.
Just a stupid pick. It's a stupid pick, and I'd love to make it. Let's do it. All right, Seattle Seahawks in 2015. You want to talk about an offense that just absolutely was poo-poo in the first half of the season. And then in the back end, my God, what happened? It was like they took a steel chair and just started wrecking shop.
Yes, they did.
It was great.
I mean, I think it really did have a lot to do with the fact that, sadly, once Jimmy Graham was out of that offense, they felt, I don't know, they figured some things out. I don't know if they were trying to cater to Graham too much, if they were trying to, really fit that square peg into a round hole or what have him.
They did that was weird? Hmm. They started going downfield.
They did start going downfield, and Doug Baldwin turned into a man-child.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, it was when Marshawn Lynch was basically out of the lineup, too.
Right.
Which is sad to say, because I love
Lynch. Well, I mean, those are two great players, but you do wonder whether or not they were trying so hard to fit the offense around those two that it just stymied everybody else.
Well, I think in 2014, them feeding Marshawn Lynch worked, and it worked really well, especially given their defense. But man, it's like you said, once Russell Wilson had to then start freestyling and doing his thing.
He wasn't even freestyling. He did it all out of the pocket, which is the craziest part.
You're right. But I guess what I'm saying is that they basically said, you know what, Russ, it's you now. It's you. You make the calls. You make the throws. You make the plays. And the offense just took off. Can these guys do it again in 2016? That's my question. Do they build on the back half of 2015 and take it to 2016? MG, what say you?
No. I don't think they're going to be a bad offense, but I mean, Russell Wilson had, you look at from weeks 11 through, 15.
He went bananas.
Three touchdowns, five touchdowns, three touchdowns, five touchdowns, three touchdowns. And that's all passing. He also had like a rushing touchdown sprinkled in there somewhere. I mean, dude was killing it. For those weeks, the fewest points he scored in those 5 weeks was 25 points.
That's insanity.
I mean, those 7 weeks in a row, he threw multiple touchdown passes, not even counting his one rushing score. In the 9 weeks prior, he only threw multiple touchdown passes once.
Right. I mean, and I think he's probably closer to the first, you know, eight, 9 weeks than those last, you know, seven, 8 weeks.
You think?
I think he is. And here's look. I think he'll throw multiple touchdown passes more often.
Wait,
than
are we talking about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
I thought we had started talking about Doug Buck because I was confused by what you were talking about. Like, why is Russell Wilson not going to be great? Like,
he'll be fine.
Oh my gosh.
I think what we saw in the last half of the season was kind of an anomaly. He'll get you two
touchdown passes. I thought that was Russell Wilson. I thought that's the kind of quarterback he is. I love his game. I'm all about Russell Wilson. I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. I think he's already in the top five.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's
– Oh, yeah.
Is that outlandish to say?
No, not at all.
I like Cam, too. But if there was one of those two quarterbacks that you looked at where you're kind of like, nah, this one's kind of fluky, I feel more comfortable with Russell Wilson just because the offenses that he came in out of in college, playing for two different offenses, playing in North Carolina State and then playing at Wisconsin, gave him a nice variety and a nice base to just kind of go out and work on some things. And I just trust his instincts. He just seems so instinctual. Like, he just – everything that he does, like, he never seems to take a huge shot. He always seems to feel pressure and get away from it. Like, yeah. The play in the Super Bowl, like the first strip sack fumble that Cam Newton had happen to him, I can't imagine that ever happening to Russell. I'm sure it has, but I can't imagine that ever happening to Russell Wilson.
Because it wasn't even a blindside sack.
Nah, it was just like
straight on.
It looked like a guy who hadn't played quarterback before. Like, what is he doing? And I think the world of Russell Wilson. I need to start downplaying him a little bit more because I think that he's the guy that everybody ignores when you start going through those runs of quarterbacks. And everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers and Brady and like, oh, well, Andrew Luck's going to come back. And like, have all those guys. Like, I'll sit and wait. I'm not a super hypochondriac type of quarterback drafter that I'm going to wait till round 18 and be like, oh, now I'm drafting my quarterback. I'll let the first couple of guys splinter off, and then I'll jump in on Russell Wilson.
Where are you taking him?
Honestly, fourth
round?
It depends on the flow. It depends on where the quarterbacks are going, and as you see that draft queue kind of line up and see where everybody's going.
You're in a lot of drafts. I think you see, you know, you're going to see Aaron Rodgers go early. You're going to see Tom Brady go relatively early. I think his age is going to scare off some folks. Andrew Luck is going to be a nice bounce back candidate as well. But Russell Wilson is going to be in that Andrew Luck territory. I think there's no question about it.
It's going to be curious if people overreact at the end of it or diminish it. But one thing that's going to be worth watching this offseason is if Jermaine Kearse hangs around, because he's a free agent and he's told the Seahawks he won't have a hometown discount. And while he's not like, oh my God, game-changing Jermaine Kearse, like, he was a very integral part of that offense right now. So
If he walks, he had
a solid year. He had a lot of good games.
Man.
But so like, if he walks, that changes the whole dynamic then, because they have to get somebody else to come in outside. They still have Tyler Lockett, but he played a ton of snaps. But then now you're putting more pressure on Lockett and Baldwin, and that's going to be interesting to see. So we got to see if they sign somebody, if they keep Kearse, if they draft another player.
I think
it's worth watching.
I think if Kearse walks and if he's a free agent, I think they'll let him go because they really need to address some other star players that they got. But I don't think that offense is going to miss a beat.
It's also another team that needs to address its offensive line because they have problems up there as well this year.
They keep drafting defensive tackles and asking them to play O-line.
Right.
Well, that was the thing, too, is getting rid of Max Unger.
Yeah, that was a
big trade. Jimmy Graham, you're like, yeah.
That didn't work for either side.
I know, it's so weird.
Now, look, here's the quick piece on Kearse. He caught 72% of his passes, just shy of 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. So he was a good chain mover and still a dynamic part of that offense. I mean, obviously it was the Doug Baldwin show with his 14 touchdowns, and
which was absurd.
Still the most ridiculous.
All right, so let's talk about Doug Baldwin, shall we? Where does he go?
Same place he always went.
It's baffling. I mean, I don't know what to make of it.
I mean, do you think people really, truly, all of a sudden believe in Doug Baldwin as a game-breaking receiver? I mean, what he did at the end of the year obviously was phenomenal, but does that completely erase all the previous years of history, the previous 4 seasons worth of history we have with Doug Baldwin, where he never got really close to 1,000 yards, he never had more than 5 touchdowns, now all of a sudden he goes 1,000 with 14 touchdowns? I mean, does that stretch erase the other 4 years? I don't know that it does.
Let's say it bounces out. Where does he go? I think in most drafts, I don't even know if he was being drafted last year.
I don't think he was. No.
And then you're big Adam Rank on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, buddy.
His favorite target clearly Doug Baldwin
for sure.
Okay, so what does that mean?
He's the number seven receiver off the board.
Wow.
I'm joking. Oh. I'm kidding.
I was going through my list. I'm like, really? Like,
yeah, it's the trend.
It's the trend. He finished last year as the WR7.
He
so.
Was. So you got it.
I
feel that there'll be a large number of people who just don't believe in Doug Baldwin, and he'll just continue to fall, and he'll tumble. And I think you get at least into the 10th round and stuff like that.
Double-digit rounds? Because
nobody's going to believe it.
I feel like somebody's going
to take it. Somebody will draft Larry Fitzgerald before they draft Doug Baldwin.
100%.
Doug Baldwin will have a better
100%
year
agree.
Next season. And it's fine. Like I will load up on receivers. I will go through, take Russell Wilson.
Okay.
But then start loading in with my my running backs and everything. And then I'll see Doug Baldwin there, you know, in those middle rounds and be like, man, why not? I think it's worth the risk. I think you're not
eighth round.
You're not going to have to overpay for him, and I think that's a good spot for him.
Eighth round sound about right.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I have to do more research on all this, but I don't know how I feel about Doug Baldwin yet.
Yeah, I don't know that.
What kind of answer is that?
I don't know. Like,
give me a take.
No, like I'm not going to give you a hot take if I haven't actually looked into it. I don't. It's like Marcus said. It's such an anomaly season. I need to go back and watch the tape. I need to do more research before I actually figure out when I'll take him, but right now, yeah, rounds 8 to 10 sounds better.
Where does Thomas Rawls go?
High.
I bet somebody's going to go first round on Tommy Rawls.
Oh, man.
I guarantee it. Yeah, somebody will.
He's got an ankle fracture.
No, people will just be like, hey, man, Seahawks running back, bruh. And then, boom.
He's off the board.
He's off the board.
Is he a top 10 pick, Alex Gilhar?
I don't know if I could take him in the first.
I wouldn't do it.
Thomas Rawls is on the phone right now.
He's calling up.
Yeah,
trying to lobby for his position here.
MG, what do you think?
Thomas Rawls.
Is he worth a first-round selection?
No.
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 He's not worth it. But he will probably go in the top 10.
You think so? I don't know. I mean, I really think because you're going to start hearing about this ankle.
Well, it all depends. It's February right now.
It is, but I mean, a lot of it depends on whether or not he looks like he'll be available to start the season there. I mean, if he's not available to start the season, there's no way he goes in the first round.
I think he will. I think the reports will come. Regardless of how healthy he is, there will be reports that he's looking great, he's feeling healthy, he's been running and doing all that kind of stuff. I would be surprised if he doesn't start the season, I guess, is what I'm saying. But yeah, he may be dealing with that injury for the entire season. I don't know, man. For that price, if he's in the first 15 picks, let's say he's like 12 to 15, even for that price, I don't know if I'm that comfortable.
I mean, I can also put on the truther jacket here. And
please
ask,
do.
Will they keep Kristen Michael?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Christ.
Will they bring him
so,
back next
year? Speaking of the Los Angeles Rams.
What an explosive athlete.
Look, we're already
running
long. We do not need to go into Kristen Michael territory.
Wait, why not? Because he was pretty effective when given the opportunity.
Stop.
And he's so
not nearly
explosive.
As effective as Rawls. Los right. Angeles Rams.
The L.A. Rams. What do we got here? We're talking about Todd Gurley. I know you're extremely
I really feel like that's where the conversation starts and ends.
And ends, yeah. There's nobody else. Is there anybody else?
Best running back in the game.
Best running back in the game. I don't necessarily
Martin, you know what's funny?
Disagree, but
is I'm looking at the mock drafts and everybody who's talking about Miles Jack, and I know it's a different position.
Sure.
But this is the thing, like, you need to ignore that kind of like, oh, it's a knee injury. Yeah, he's fine. Like, he's good. I know I'm making eight different points. Every time I try to, like, spread out my wings a little bit, I can see Alex is mad at me. I really want to go into a Miles Jack.
Absolutely.
I really want to go into Miles Jack so much.
Don't need to go into Miles Jack.
Miles Jack played running back at UCLA. Maybe some team takes a chance on him.
Ooh.
And says, oh, we're going to convert you to running back.
Maybe he'll be on the NFL.com fantasy side. Can he be listed as an RBLB?
They're not going to do that.
Why not?
At linebacker.
How great would that be if he got a couple of carries? Like, he could be a that helps no one else.
You know what? Here's the other thing that we should petition for. J.J. Watt should be a
tight
end D.E.
Yeah.
T-E-D-E.
I do want him as a tight end.
I think he needs to be a T-E-D-E.
Why can't he be? Like, you're the fantasy editor. Go make that stuff happen.
Can't we? Who do we talk to?
Marcus.
There is a
– The fantasy editor.
I don't control the tech side.
We don't control the game, no. So anyways.
How do you not get in those conversations? How are you not, like, right there hand-in-hand with whoever those people
Adam,
are?
Adam, you've worked at this company for how long? You know how it works.
Just do
Tavon,
it.
Tavon Austin. Wide receiver 24.
Nope.
Anybody taking taking a super
pass,
late?
Love,
nope.
Pass.
Love Tavon Austin.
No, you don't. Stop.
Love him.
Stop it.
I'm a big Tavon
you,
Austin.
You like making Stone Cold Steve Austin references.
Doesn't matter.
That doesn't mean you like Tavon Austin.
It doesn't matter why I like him. It's the fact that I like him.
All right, so then the last question I had for this. The opening day quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams will be?
Peyton Manning.
Oh.
No.
I think it'll still be Nick Foles.
It's a Los Angeles Rams tradition to have these washed up quarterbacks
in
the vein of Joe Namath.
It is.
Steve Bartkowski. Steve Dills. A second run at Vince Ferragamo. I think the best quarterback in Rams history, though, at least the only one I saw who was worth anything, was Jim Everett. Yeah.
It's not Kurt Warner.
He was not an LA Ram.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Those listening at home, Rank just shot a look
right.
of death.
Okay.
All right, let's jump to Marcus's team right. quick here. The San Francisco 49ers.
I'm going to tell Kurt Warner you said that.
I would tell Kurt. Well, hold on. I will tell Kurt.
I'm going to tell Kurt Warner that you did not put him on the all-time
I've told
Rams
both
list.
Those guys. I've told him and I've told Marshall Faulk that they are not welcome in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Like, we don't. I was even saying, don't even bring out the Super Bowl trophy.
Wow.
Leave that at Busch Stadium. Actually, you know what? Give it to the Blues since they've never won anything. They can have this Super Bowl trophy. They can put the banner up in their little
arena.
He's even
dropping hockey elbows. Right
now. I'm just saying, like, it's because it doesn't matter.
Very quickly, I just wanted to say, Todd Gurley, how high are you comfortable drafting him?
First round.
First.
No. I get the first round. Where in the first round?
Top three. I don't know that number one. But
top three for sure.
Yeah.
In that scenario you laid out where the receivers and Rob Gronkowski are gone, I would take Gurley.
Okay.
I would take Gurley over Allen Robinson in the first round.
Wow. Okay. We're moving on. San Francisco 49ers.
Like, that's the next
Chip Kelly has come to San Francisco.
Is he DeMarco Murray or is he Ryan Matthews?
Right. Carlos Hyde.
I want to believe that he's going to be. I don't want to, because Alex is talking about this. Like, I really want to investigate this more. I really want to go back and look at his snaps at Ohio State, how many of them were coming out of the shotgun, because he's going to have to learn how to run out of the shotgun and how he takes those snaps. So that's something that
I'm worried
about.
I have
to go back and take a little bit of time to look at. He's a clear bounce back candidate, but he's a candidate for it. Much like some of these guys in the debates
are candidates to be president.
That doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be president.
Okay.
I'm really worried because I have a feeling.
I'm worried too.
I really think that this Chip Kelly thing could go horribly sideways.
Oh, it's going to be either great or terrible. There won't be any in-between.
There's no in-between.
All right. Well, it's your hometown team. Marcus Grant?
I do like what it means for Carlos Hyde. And even last year when he was healthy, I felt like we saw some good things from him. I mean, I know that game against the Vikings in week one feels like that's a lifetime ago.
It does seem like a lifetime ago, but goodness.
But he looks so good, and I think that's what he can be. And I think he combines all the things that we saw in Philly between DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. I mean, I think he kind of combines the best of those two running backs. So I do think there is optimism for Carlos Hyde. That said, I still think he's on the board in like the third or fourth round, probably.
I would agree with that.
Ditto.
I'm
optimistic, but I think you're going to be able to get him in that. I'm trying to think of like the round range that he might go from last year, like maybe a Doug Martin, depending on when you draft, like round 4 to 6.
Okay.
Where you take the upside, you know there's a lot of risk.
Yeah.
But that kind of situation.
I think I'd be comfortable investing a late third round pick in Carlos Hyde, I think. If I was going to go wide receiver, Carlos Hyde as a third-round pick is not bad.
Yeah.
I don't think
that.
So.
I would rather have him as my RB2 to start, looking at that the draft board.
Because you're going to have – if you're there in the third round, you would be choosing between Carlos Hyde and perhaps Lamar Miller, Mark Ingram?
I'll take Hyde on the upside.
I take Hyde over – over
Ingram.
Ingram.
Clearly.
What? Clearly.
Clearly.
I would
clearly.
Say
clearly. What are clearly. You talking about? I'm not. You're insane.
I'm not sure.
That's a terrible.
Clearly.
That I would take God. Him. I'm not 100%
I'm sure not a Mark Ingram guy, man. I'm just not a fan. I'm just not a fan.
James doesn't like a guy. It's overranked. There's no convincing him.
Why do you hate Mark Ingram? It makes no sense.
Well, I just said I like Carlos Hyde more than Mark Ingram. What do you want from me?
There's a deep sea. Because you're like making an emphatic point about clearly the guy who had one great game last year playing in a gimmicky yep. offense with a college football coach right. is clearly better than the proven NFL veteran.
You've made my point exactly. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That is ridiculous.
All right. I see here a question here. The opening day quarterback for the 49ers will be. I mean, if it's not Colin Kaepernick, I'd be shocked, no?
Blaine?
I felt like the whole point of him getting hired was like, no, we're going to fix Colin Kaepernick. I got to wait.
That's kind of what I thought, too.
Yeah, but then why does Kaepernick go out immediately in the press and say he wants to go play for the Jets?
I mean, it's good to want things. But it's not completely up to him.
I wonder, just to that point, I wonder if Colin Kaepernick's, angling for a new deal.
He just got a deal.
No, he just got a deal. None of it's guaranteed.
I know.
Or it's a terrible deal for him.
Right.
It's a terrible deal for any kind of quarterback.
But if you're the 49ers, are you trying to negotiate?
No,
absolutely
not.
And if this is his plan, he's got terrible representation then because they're like, look, you had a terrible season. Why don't you start asking out so you get a new deal?
Well,
like,
because he could get cut. And take home nothing. I think that's the problem. And then you might look around the quarterback landscape and say, well, where am I going to get a deal? If he could kind of rework his deal that actually makes more cap-friendly sense to the team and also locks up more long-term money for him, maybe that's something that actually does make sense.
I don't think the Jets call was the move to get that going, but we will see.
It looked even worse when the Jets were like, yeah, we don't want
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. Brandon exactly. Marshall's like, stay in the Bay.
it doesn't make sense. Like, you know, the Beard had a great season there. They got, you know,
they
obviously.
They still have
Geno. I know. They still got Geno, too. Not that Geno's great.
We're trying to make Geno happen.
I'm not trying to make Geno happen. I'm just saying he's not great, but he's there.
He's there and he knows the system, and they were high on him before he got injured, so it makes
enough.
No sense to get Kaepernick.
Fair enough. All right.
All right. Does Colin Kaepernick get drafted in fantasy? If he's the opening
Come
day.
On.
If he's the opening day, sir.
I'm not touching him.
I doubt it.
Nobody?
I doubt it. I mean,
did Carson Palmer not get drafted last year?
Yeah, he did.
No,
I picked him up on the waiver.
I picked him up in the waiver in a couple too.
Yeah.
After the draft.
I feel like, yeah.
Really? Wow, okay. All right. Yeah. So
in like a league where my late round flyer was Sam Bradford, and then early in the season I was like, "This was a mistake," and then grabbed Carson Palmer.
That's exactly how it happened. Like I had Phillip Rivers in a bunch of leagues, and then I was like, "Ah, this isn't gonna last."
Quarterback upside, no, on Colin Kaepernick. I think
I
he
like
might
it.
Be worth a 15th, 14th, 15th round. No, okay.
Rosa.
All right, thank you. Like I'm not trying. I'm trying to talk myself.
I feel like you play. I mean, think about it. You play in 10, 12 team leagues.
Yeah.
Not 10, 12 team leagues, but right. 10 or 12 team leagues.
Right.
I think this day and age that a lot of people either they just have one quarterback. There's not
yeah,
a lot
true.
Of guys.
That's true.
If you're like Akbar, who's kind of, you know, he'll have multiple quarterbacks. And
if you're like Akbar, fill in the
one.
Blank. What does that mean? Does that mean like.
No, Akbar likes to have quarterback depth. He's
okay.
a little old school that okay, way.
Got it.
He has that mentality that you always need a great backup. But I think a lot of people have moved on from the. I need a second quarterback because I can stream a quarterback. Like, if I lose my quarterback, I can go stream Teddy Bridgewater for a week. And I think a lot of people think like that. But there are still some holdouts of people who still like to carry. Like, Akbar is the most high-profile person I can think of that always has two quarterbacks. Like, you look on his team, and you try – because I try to make trades with him all the time, so I know his roster's back and forth. And because I try to make a trade with him every week, and he never looks at it.
Yeah,
and then week 13, he's like, hey, do you want to make a trade? I'm like, I was offering you – this guy for the last 13 weeks, and then so in situations like that,
yes,
I don't think Colin Kaepernick is going to break your top 14, 15.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So there'll be 17 other quarterbacks on the waiver wire that you can pick up.
All right, anybody have anything else they want to say about the Niners passing offense?
Torrey Smith? Else? Anything?
Ugh.
Yeah. Whatever.
Not a lot of takes on them.
They got to get
all right.
receivers.
Well, should we dap it and get out of here?
All right. Sure.
Wait, Blake. Who's there? Blake Bell?
Blake Bell?
Blake Bell.
Yeah.
Sleeper.
Okay.
Sleeper
oh, boy. Danger? Danger zone?
Dangerous.
Getting dangerous?
Very dangerous.
Yeah, okay. Let's hit those daps. Get out of here.
Extra, extra. Read all about it.
This is the day. Daps and hugs. Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
All right, Daily Dap time. What are we dapping, WizKid?
Well, one of the movies I got out to see this weekend was Deadpool, of course. And I just want to dap the team behind it and its success this weekend. It broke like every February box office record, and it became the second highest opening for a first installment of a comic book franchise behind the Avengers, with like $130-some million over 3 weekends, which is, over 3 days this weekend, which is tremendous. Like, it crushed a lot of other really good movies. And I think it's cool because it was an R-rated superhero movie that didn't cost a lot to make, and it was a studio kind of taking a chance on it with a first-time director and Ryan Reynolds, who had, you know, failed in a superhero role before. So all the parts of it, I think kudos to them for making a kick-ass movie.
More shocking that that Deadpool was, as an R-rated action flick, is breaking records, or that Ryan Reynolds did not completely murder a franchise.
That's rude, because I think Ryan Reynolds is a talented guy, and
the CGI ruined Green Lantern and the writing of Green Lantern.
Green Lantern had numerous problems.
Ryan Reynolds I don't is so bad.
Oh no.
Wow.
As the Green Lantern or in general?
As the Green Lantern.
He was tremendous as Deadpool though.
Okay, good.
Which
funny because he's been trying to get that movie made for 12 years.
Well, that's what I saw an article,
like,
I didn't read it.
Anti-daps. Yeah. To the people who held that movie back for so long,
maybe they looked at Ryan Reynolds and said,
But that's why, you know what's funny is, I think, because the guy that was directed it, I think Tim Miller was his name, worked on special effects for Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And there's a rumor going around that, because if you guys remember, a couple years ago, there was leaked footage of that highway scene fight with Ryan Reynolds voicing Deadpool. It was all just like previs, so it was animated stuff. But there's a rumor that he leaked it himself to try and generate the buzz to then get the movie made. That would be cool if he and Reynolds were kind of in cahoots, like, let's just slip this out on the internet and see what happens. And then such a buzz, and now the movie's a massive hit. So
it makes me a little worried that then DC's going to see that and be like, okay, we need a raunchy action comic book movie, and they're going to get we're going to get a Red Hood and the Outlaws movie, and Starfire is going to be so terrible. Oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful.
We just lost about 75%.
No, and everybody
right
knows
there.
What we're talking about. Anybody who knows who Deadpool right is will know Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Okay, come
all
on.
Right.
Fair enough. Okay. Mark Grant, what's up?
I'm going to daily dap Albert Einstein. seriously. I mean, okay, so obviously, I don't know how many people were paying attention to nerd news on the internet, but scientists found gravitational waves, which was part of the original theory of relativity, that, you know, they were basically what we all believe, there are ripples in the space-time continuum.
Yes.
Because of black holes that collide and create these gravitational waves. So I feel like we are only a few steps away from finding another universe somewhere else, so we're going to figure out how to time travel and all that stuff. I just want to be here when we figure out how to harness 88 gigawatts of energy into our flux capacitors. Because they're also bringing back the DeLorean. It's all coming together. DeLoreans are coming back. We found
it's
ripples
happening
in space-time. It is all coming.
Step together. One, find ripples in space-time. Step two, question mark.
Step
mark.
Three,
step
profit.
Three. Profit.
That's it.
Done. But if we could time travel, done, wouldn't they already be back?
Maybe they are.
They would already be here.
Maybe they are. We don't know that.
Maybe they are.
Now, they explain this in The Flash.
Maybe you're living in a dream inside of a dream.
If you watch or read The Flash, it explains, because they always go into the different Earths.
You're gonna wake up and you're gonna be at Cal State Fullerton with a full set of hair.
I think on Earth 2, I went to Stanford.
All right, what do you got there, Adam Rank?
I want to give some daps out. For number one, Matt Forte. We talked about him at the beginning of the show. Handled himself with class. It's a contentious situation, and it could really get ugly, but he's taken the high road, and I agree. As disappointing as it is to see him leave, I'm glad that he's not taking shots at the Bears and not taking shots at the fans. So I thought that was a great way to go out. Daps to Taylor Swift. I thought her acceptance speech was perfect. I love that she's doing so well. Kanye's doing so horrible. So that's really good. Daps to Cal State Fullerton baseball. They kick off against Stanford, our rival. Stanford this week at Sunken Diamond. Dabs to Aaron Rodgers, who returned to the Twittersphere.
Okay.
And I'm no Aaron Rodgers fan, but his tweet was pretty hilarious. You'll have to go out and see it. Dabs to hotel maids who are going to be working today and tomorrow. tough weekend for you guys. So I think that you'll be pushing through. So good luck to you. And daps to Andy Dalton, who lost his luggage for the second time in a week. The struggle is real for everybody. Even NFL quarterbacks lose their luggage.
The struggle is real.
It is. And it is. Finally, daps to my bride, Miss Rosie McGillicuddy.
Okay.
Whose birthday is February 16th.
So oh, wow, cool.
Happy birthday. Depending on, happy birthday.
Thank you. So depending on when you're listening to this, it could be today.
Okay.
Could have been a couple of days ago.
Sure.
But daps
wait, you could have listened to this a couple of days ago?
No.
Yeah, with time traveling.
With time traveling?
Yeah.
You listen.
Of
that's
course.
True. If you're listening to this on Friday, her birthday was a couple of days ago.
Okay. I got you.
Also, I have to say, I just went and looked at Aaron Rodgers' welcome back tweet, and it is tremendous.
That is pretty great.
It's really good.
I'm assuming it's not appropriate for the airwaves?
It's appropriate, but I kind of want to – I'll just read it. So he says, have to start my return by thanking at the tweet of God for an exciting season. Tell your son's mother I said thank you for those two throws. Which, if you don't know, the tweet of at the tweet of God is a parody account as well. So.
Oh, good for you.
There's layers to that. I very much
so
enjoyed it.
There's so many layers to that. That's great.
But
that's
I feel tremendous. Like the Hail Mary was one play.
You're going to be a Hail Mary truther, aren't you?
It was Rodgers.
Oh, for God's sake. Going, no. James, what are you
It's tapping? Like there's only one ghost of the post. There's just one immaculate reception.
Oh, you're one of these guys.
He's only one. He's a Hail Mary truther.
Yes, because nobody else tries to bounce it off of somebody's hands and then have the running back scoop it up.
But anytime, off the ground. Like, couldn't you have called David Tyree's catch an immaculate reception? It was immaculate.
I guess you
could. Right? I mean, it just seems weird.
I guess you could have.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You're one of those guys.
I'm not one of those guys.
Yeah, you're one of those guys.
One of those guys.
You're one of those guys.
I'm not.
You are. No,
I'm not. It's a desperation here.
All right, Daily Daps. How about to New Belgium Brewing? Tried their Citradelic yesterday. It's a tangerine IPA. It's got a nice citrusy finish. It's a little bit lighter than your grapefruit IPA that you've come to know, love, and enjoy. So props to them, daps to them for creating such a lovely brew. I'll also give, Daily Daps, you know, I did this on Dave Damashek's podcast, but not on our very own, but, how about Daily Daps to OK Go for creating one of the most creative music videos.
It's I've insane. Ever,
it's
James and I talked about it for like an hour at the end of the week last week.
It's bananas. Upside Down and Inside Out is the name of the song. Okay, Go. Upside Down and Inside Out.
Okay, so I haven't listened to it yet. Do they sample the Diana Ross song, or do they sample Sugar Hill Gang?
Oh, bro, that's out of my wheelhouse.
Okay,
that's out. I'm sorry.
I don't believe they do.
I don't believe they do either. But if I didn't want to say that and then be proven wrong. I just want to say ignorance, and I don't know.
Okay. I will listen to it myself.
But the video is insanity, man.
They have a history of that.
Yeah.
The
I mean,
on
but this one is
no,
even more insane.
Yeah. No.
The logistics to figuring out how to tape this thing in a zero-gravity chamber while moving up and down in a plane.
You have to go check it out.
It's, yeah. And the backstory is cool, man. The backstory is cool. They had to fly to Russia to get this thing shot. So this thing, it's pretty good. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend seeing it. I'm going to jump on the back of Adam Rank there. Wish my wife a happy birthday as well.
Oh, nice.
It was in early February, so I kind of missed that. Well, I really didn't. I mean, I took her out and did all that kind of good stuff. But on the podcast, didn't give her any dap, so we'll do that there. Anyway, so that's going to do it for us. Adam Rank, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, and the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. I'm James Coe. We're out of here. We'll see you.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Bucky, tell everybody what's on the latest Move the Sticks episode.
The five lessons we learned from the Denver Broncos in terms of how to build a championship team. Also, what are the deepest positions in the draft? Look down the middle. Those defensive tackles are nice.
Yeah, we've got you covered as we march towards the NFL draft. Move the Sticks. You can find us on iTunes, NFL.com/podcast, as well as YouTube.